The History of Mr. Polly by H.G. Wells. Chapter the First. Beginnings and the Bazaar. Section 1.
"Howl," said Mr. Polly,
and then for a change and with greatly increased emphasis,
"Owl."
He paused, and then broke out with one of his private and peculiar idioms.
"Oh, beastly, silly wheeze of a hole."
He was sitting on a stile between two threadbare-looking fields and suffering acutely from indigestion. He suffered from indigestion now nearly every afternoon in his life, but as he lacked introspection, he projected the associated discomfort upon the world. Every afternoon he discovered afresh that life as a whole and every aspect of life that presented itself was beastly. And this afternoon, lured by the delusive blueness of a sky that was blue because the wind was in the east, he had come out in the hope of snatching something of the joyousness of spring. The mysterious alchemy of mind and body refused, however, to permit any joyousness whatever in the spring. He had had a little difficulty in finding his cap before he came out. He wanted his cap, the new golf cap, and Mrs. Polly must needs fish out his old soft brown felt hat.
"Here's your hat," she said in a tone of insincere encouragement.
He had been rooting among the piled newspapers under the kitchen dresser, and had turned quite hopefully and taken the thing. He put it on, but it didn't feel right. Nothing felt right. He put a trembling hand upon the crown of the thing and pressed it on his head, and tried it askew to the right, and then askew to the left. Then the full sense of the indignity offered him came home to him. The hat masked the upper sinister quarter of his face, and he spoke with a wrathful eye regarding his wife from under the brim. In a voice thick with fury he said,
"I suppose you'd like me to wear that silly mud pie for ever, eh? I tell you, I won't. I'm sick of it. I'm pretty much sick of everything comes to that hat."
He clutched it with quivering fingers.
"Hat,"
he repeated. Then he flung it to the ground and kicked it with extraordinary fury across the kitchen. It flew up against the door and dropped to the ground with its ribbon band half off.
"Shan't go out," he said,
and, sticking his hands into his jacket pockets, discovered the missing cap in the right one. There was nothing for it but to go straight upstairs without a word, and out, slamming the shop door hard.
"Beauty,"
said Mrs. Polly at last to a tremendous silence, picking up and dusting the rejected headdress.
"Tantrums," she added, "I haven't patience."
And moving with the slow reluctance of a deeply offended woman, she began to pile together the simple apparatus of their recent meal for transportation to the scullery sink. The repast she had prepared for him did not seem to her to justify his ingratitude. There had been the cold pork from Sunday and some nice cold potatoes, and Rashdall's mixed pickles, of which he was inordinately fond. He had eaten three gherkins, two onions, a small cauliflower head, and several capers, with every appearance of appetite, and indeed with avidity. And there had been cold suet pudding to follow with treacle, and then a nice bit of cheese. It was the pale, hard sort of cheese he liked. Red cheese, he declared, was indigestible. He had also had three big slices of greyish baker's bread, and had drunk the best part of the jugful of beer. But there seems no pleasing some people.
"Tantrums," said Mrs. Polly at the sink.